pray with me. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We honor you. Your name is like no other name. And even in our ignorance, we take your name and we use it in all the wrong ways. But behind that name is God, the God of the universe. May we never forget that and who you are. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so this is what it's come down to. The scripture that was read from John 13. If you knew you were leaving, you had only a couple of hours left, a few moments to share with your disciples what you were all about, what would you leave with them? Only the Gospel of St. John records this story in such a way. The Bible often tells us what Jesus did, but rarely does it tell us also what he did and why he did it in all instances. But in this case, it does. And so he wanted to leave on the minds of the disciples this very important account. And that's what we see in John, the 13th chapter, the washing of his disciples' feet. Sometimes I think we pass by this service and not give it the importance that we should. Maybe we've just been accustomed to it. And maybe we don't think about or we don't want to discuss the fact of what feet were like in Jesus' day. The people wore sandals in his day, and the streets were not always paved. Some of them had brick paving, but most didn't. They carried a lot of their livestock with them. The livestock roamed around, and with livestock comes livestock waste. You don't believe it, just take a trip up California sometimes and you'll smell them. You could not avoid getting some on your sandals or on your feet. This is the feet that Jesus washed. They were dirty feet, smelly, stinky feet. We like to wash our feet before we come to the foot washing. In Jesus' day, they washed feet that really needed washing. And it was impolite if you sat at the table or often on the deck or on the mat in a reclining position. It was impolite, and in cultures today, to point your feet at individuals, and it certainly would not be polite to have such dirty, smelly, stinky feet pointed at one another. And so there was a need to wash feet. But today, in fact, if you knew ahead of time that we were having the washing of feet, would you invite your friends or your guests or your neighbors? In fact, they might find that rather unusual. In fact, the take on washing of feet, when you read critics of those who still do that, is that it was not meant to be a service or an ordinance. It's somehow we've just taken it, and that was never Jesus' intent. And in fact, what critics say, that if we are going to wash feet, since Jesus washed all the disciples' feet, well then, if you did the service, you had, everyone had to participate, and everybody had to have their feet washed. And in fact, the critics say, you couldn't do that in a church service. It would take all day. And that's not true. Those of you who have been Seventh-day Adventists for a while know that we've done that, and we do that, you know, once a quarter, and we manage to do that without making it becoming an all-day service. And so we are able to do that. But washing feet, of all the things that Jesus would leave to us with his last hours, why would he tell us to wash one another's feet? He had to be thinking about that at some point. Well, I at least need to let you know that we are not by ourselves biblically. There are other churches that wash feet. We tend not to see it because we're here. Primitive Baptists, Separate Baptists, General Association Baptists, Free Will Baptists, Union Baptists, Old Regular Baptists, Independent Baptists, United Baptists, Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee, Church of God, Seventh Day, and Brethren in Christ, and there's probably a few others that I left off the list, also wash feet. We're not by ourselves. Someone else saw that in the Bible in John 13 besides us. Even the LDS, probably not in the same way, but their founder, Joseph Smith, directed his missionaries while they were proselytizing. If you did not accept their teaching, that they were to shake the dust or wash the dust from their feet. Washing feet. Why do we still wash feet? Is there something that Jesus wants us to remember? Is it about washing feet, or is it something deeper? I share this with you because I think we should guard this. What you find it as organizations and institutions continue to grow on and they're around longer, you know what they do if they're not careful? They start saying, we don't need to do this anymore. If we're not careful, this will be one of them. We will decide that we don't need to do this anymore. I'm saying, when that comes, I just have a strange feeling it'll find its way around here. Don't fall for that. Jesus did not wash feet without giving a message to us. And so Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. He got up from his meal and took off his outer clothing and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. I want you to get this. Jesus, bowing his knees and washing his disciples' dirty, smelly feet. Jesus gets the basin and the towel. I want you to, the King of the universe, whose hands shape the stars, washes his disciples' feet. The one who the Bible says all nations will one day kneel before him, now kneels before his disciples to wash their feet. Lord, you must be telling us something. Hours before his death, he could have found something else to do. Why would he be there washing his disciples' feet? Maybe he's not just talking about removing dirt. Maybe he needs to remove from his disciples doubt. You know what I see in this account? The grace and mercy of Jesus. He washes all the disciples' feet, and that's Judas included. Would you wash his feet? Would you wash Judas's feet? Jesus washed all the disciples' feet. Mercy, and this is not mine, this is someone else's thought. Mercy precedes our mistakes. He knew that Judas would betray him, and he still washes his feet. There's something that happens in, and it should happen. When I became a member of the church many years ago, I was taught that whenever we were going to have communion and then have the foot washing service, it was an opportunity for members that had aught with each other to get it together with each other before coming to communion. That's how I was taught. Now, I don't know if that's still taught anymore. I don't know if it's still there. I don't know if it's a part of who we are as a church, but that's what I was taught. And so if you had problems with a brother and sister and you know communion was going on, you would go up to them and say, let's get it right. In fact, would you let me wash your feet? Would you wash his or her feet? And that's what I was taught that we should do. And in fact, I'm of the opinion that the higher position you have in the church, the more you should be willing to wash anybody's feet in the church. Anybody. There's no one in here's feet that you shouldn't wash, especially if you're an elder, or if you're a deacon, or if you're a deaconess, or you take the office whenever you want. The higher, the more we should be willing to wash feet. You know what you might discover when you wash others' feet? That they'll wash yours. And you'll kind of, you see, communion should be, it should be for the people of God, bridge building. But we have communion and we go back out with the same old attitudes we came in with, and the Lord is not pleased. We make a mockery of the service when we don't get it right with our brother or our sister. I used to say that, and I want to say, I've said it before, I'll say it again, Fallbrook is extraordinary. It's a few churches when you say you're having communion that people don't run away or stay away. Because we read the text where you take communion unworthily, and so we read that and we get half of the folk that don't come when you say you're having communion. Fallbrook really does not fall into that category, and you're to be commended for that kind of spirit. And this idea was not mine, but I copied it from someone. It says, relationships don't thrive because the guilty are punished, but because the innocent are merciful. That's heavy. That's once a quarter, at least. We should make it a point of getting right with one another. In fact, I'm of the opinion that communion for Seventh-day Adventists is the washing of feet and taking of the Lord's Supper. Both of them makes up communion. Not one without the other. Both. Oh, how we need a humble spirit toward one another. We can't leave that out. And we do show the Lord's death till he comes. I think we got that part. But to humble ourselves, that's more challenging to us. I believe we need both. I would not want to leave ministry here at Fallbrook without letting you know that that's important. And you need that. Washing one another's feet. Now, I know that we wash families. We, as a church, we've gathered as families. And I think that's absolutely wonderful that we join together as families and wash one another's feet. I would trust that you'll always do that and continue to do that. But just by chance, if you see someone that does not look like they have anyone to wash their feet, would you be willing to say, "Can I wash your feet?" Would you look for that? Would you look for an opportunity to wash another's feet? That's really what we should be doing. We should take an opportunity to do what Jesus did. And I would like to leave this question. It was answered so well in the first service. I want to leave it with you. A question, and if you find what you think the answer is, you can let me know later on. Did anyone wash Jesus' feet? Now, don't answer out loud. Did anyone wash Jesus' feet? You know what's probably, I'll kind of give you, you know what's tragic about what I've just asked you? Is that nobody that we know of in the scriptures, it doesn't speak to this point, made an attempt to wash his feet first. That is a tragedy. I don't want that to be possible in here today. If you want your feet washed, there'd be somebody to wash it. That's the way it should be in the house of the Lord. Amen. In fact, you know what I love about this story? And I need to tell you this. Everybody has dirty feet. Just in case you didn't think I was talking about you. Everybody has dirty feet. And they need washing. They need, that's what I love about this story. And the disciples just didn't quite get it. You know, you need Jesus to touch you. And sometimes we don't really want Jesus to touch us where we're dirty. We need Jesus to touch us. And he's willing to touch us where we're dirty, yes. That's heavy. God washes the manure off of your feet. What a God. Can we at least wash one another's feet? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Again, Lord, we see your love. We see it because you went down each one of the disciples and you got to Judas. and you washed his feet. You got to Peter, and he was reluctant for you to touch him. But you expressed, if I don't touch you, if I don't wash your feet, then we won't have a part of each other. We won't be connected. And Peter says, Lord, not just my feet. My head, my hand, everything. Wash all of me. And Lord, we feel the same way. Wash all of me. We thank you, Lord, for this service. Oh, I know in the 21st century, it seems archaic. Why would we still do it? To learn of you. To keep us strong as a church, as a body. Keep us strong in relationships one with the other. May that happen today. In Jesus' name, amen.